we're going to get into, but it's kind of, I got used to it now. I kind of like it. Does anybody not have the book that we wrote on the tribulation, on how to get saved during the tribulation? Brother Taylor, I don't guess you've got, you get a copy? All right. All right, so I guess everybody's got a copy. I said some stuff last week that I had almost, I don't know how many people, I've had a lot of people said they've never heard that before when I mentioned something, and we'll get to it here in a second. I guess Andy told you what we're doing, Brother Taylor, with this book. We know we're going to be taken out of here pretty soon, and what are those folks going to do during the tribulation? And we're a doctrinal, dispensational church. We believe in rightly dividing, so we publish this to try to help the sinner in the tribulation. Before I get started on it, I was going to give everybody an update on Jennifer. I did leave her home alone this morning. I hope that was a wise decision. Last Thursday on Thanksgiving, her lip, well, Tuesday she was fine. And I'm going to try to go as quick as I can to catch everybody up. But on Thanksgiving, Thursday morning, her lip was and bottom part of her jaw was just really swollen. And I joked all day about hitting her and knocking her in the face. And, you know, we laughed about it. But anyway, by that night, it had doubled from Thursday morning. And I thought, at this rate, it's going to be really bad by Friday morning. So I took her to UAB, emergency room, Thanksgiving night. And y'all can imagine what that was like. It was every bit as what you think it was. While we were there, there was knifing, shooting, stabbings. Two cars rolled up, opened the door, pushed people out the door, and drove off that had been shot. And so, yeah, the UAB hospital was quite an ordeal. And it was crazy. There were people, while we were in the emergency room, like they'd pulled us back, there would be screaming and wailing, "No, he can't be dead, no!" For hours, different people. And I told the nurse, I'm like, "Is this normal?" She's like, "Well, it happens, but it's going crazy tonight." And that's when she told me about the two cars that just wheeled in, pushed people out the door, and drove off. Didn't say who they were, how they were shot. Didn't just they were bleeding and just pushed them out the door. Birmingham's crazy. Birmingham is absolutely insane. She was telling people that when I asked her about her lip, she was telling the doctors and stuff that I hit her. I'm like, "You get me sent to jail. Don't do that. That's not funny." She's like, "Oh, it's funny at the house, but it ain't funny now, is it?" I'm like, "No, it ain't funny now." We were was about 24 hours in the emergency room. The hospital was at full capacity. ICU was packed. They had no rooms available. Well, when they did a CAT scan on her lip, because what they were going to do is they were going to drain her lip and give her some antibiotics and send her home. My phone was almost dead when I went to the hospital. I had probably about 20% charge, wasn't thinking nothing of it. I figured we're just going to go there, get some antibiotics, drain it, and we'll go home. They did a CAT scan and come back and said, "We're not worried about her lip at all, but she has a hole between her sinus and brain barrier. She has brain leak, spinal leak, and brain is flowing through that hole." I said, "Well, that can't be good." It's like, no, that's instant surgery immediately once we get a room. So we're sitting there, and we're sitting there, and we're sitting there. We're just waiting on an ICU room. I even sent something out on Facebook, and I know it has its problems, but it was easier for me to keep up with people on Facebook. And I even mentioned, we either need somebody to get better, get well, and go home, or somebody to kick the bucket so a room opens up. And some of her friends didn't like that too well, so they don't know me. They don't know my sister. I said some things further in the week that caused some problems, but my kids told me I don't belong on social media, and they're probably right. I said some crazy stuff, man. It's too easy. You're sitting there, and you got the phone right there, and you just blast it out there. But anyway, I texted Emily. We were in the emergency room waiting for about 24 hours for an ICU. We're waiting on a room to open up, then they're going to do surgery. And I texted Emily, and I said, "Maybe I need to just go through the ICU and unplug everything." And I thought I was going to get back, "Dad, you can't do that." And she's like, "I believe that's the perfect will of God." And she said, "If it was their time to go, it's their time to go." So that's my girl right there. That was a proud moment for me. The nurse come in and said, "We have a room. We're going to send her now. Let me go get the paperwork." She walks out, and 2 minutes later, she walks in and opens the door. I said, "You know, lost the room, didn't you?" She said, "How do you know?" And I'm like, "I could just see it all over your face. You lost the room." So, yeah, we just had somebody come in on life flight, and they had to take the room, so we had to wait even longer. But anyway, I'll try to wrap this up. She had to have surgery. They went in through her top of her head, and she does have railroad tracks on top of her from ear to ear. I was blown away. I mean, Had we not went in for the swollen lip, they'd have never found that. And the doctor said it could have killed her. It would have killed her. Because when you're leaking brain fluid, that's bad. But I won't go into much more detail. She spent a week in the hospital. I was up there with her every night and every day and through all of it. And she's home now. I will say this. The medication she's on two different type. And by themselves, they do wonderful for what they do. And she has to be on both of them. But the side effect is you say and do crazy things, mainly say things. So if she posts something on Facebook that is just beyond even something I would post or something crazy, I'm going to try to keep a watch on it. But they did say, the pharmacist and the doctor both told me, it makes you say crazy stuff. So I got to keep an eye on her. Okay, amen, amen, amen. I don't know when they're going to take the staples out. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm going to stay with her off work. I took work off this week. I'm going to stay with her. And she was doing better this morning than she has so far. And I double-checked. I'm like, you okay? She's like, I'm okay. So I'm going to check with her after Sunday school. And if I have to go, I'll go. But if I can stay, I'll stay. But we'll see. But anyway, I'm just trying to catch everybody up. Thank you for praying. Did I tell everybody to turn to Matthew chapter 10? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Thank you for praying. That's an ordeal, but God's been good. That girl's been through a lot. When she went in an emergency room in April, within 2 hours, they were doing surgery in April. And y'all, those of you that were here, she was in the hospital for 3 weeks. And here we are. Now we just went back in, and she just had another major surgery. So she's been through a lot, and I appreciate y'all praying for her. And I know you're praying for her. There's no doubt about it. All right. I said something 2 weeks ago. I wasn't here last week because we was in the emergency room last Sunday. I mentioned how the tribulation started in Acts chapter 2. And what new heresy is this? So I'm going to lay out the case for it today. And in this book that I wrote, the hardest part is whittling stuff down, because this is going to go into a sinner's hand in the tribulation. And I don't want to go into some deep doctrinal, theological. I just stated it. I laid out a few verses. We're going to cover more verses that are not in your book today. That's why we're going to start here. But I want to make a case, and I want to say this. If you don't believe this, this is okay. It's fine. This isn't eternal security of the believer. This isn't, you know, that Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. This isn't the King James Bible. Some of them things I'm going to have a hard time fellowshipping with you. But if you don't believe what I'm about to say, that's fine. I mean, I'm going to eat my lunch today, and it's going to taste good, and I'm going to sleep good tonight. It doesn't matter. Like, it really, in the ultimate end, it doesn't matter. But I think I'm going to lay out a good case. And one thing I like about Pastor Andrew, he's had people here that does not believe what he believes, and you know what he told them to do? Teach it. He gave them the liberty to teach it. And I'm glad of that. There's a lot of churches you go to, buddy, if you don't line up perfectly and you don't, you know, follow the thing, you can't say anything. And if what you believe can't handle scrutiny, then do you really know is it really what you believe, the truth? So I'm going to lay it out. Let me go down here. We're going to just cover the, just for reference of the points. You need to get a King James Bible. I said the 7 most important things you need to do. So this is a sinner in the tribulation. We're gone. He can't talk to a Christian. They're gone. This is going to be his instruction manual to point him to the Bible. This booklet does not save anybody. And I say that in the book. You need to get a Bible. The Bible, this is pointing people to the Bible. You need a King James Bible, and I say it here, go to the pastor's office. He's got a bunch of them in there. Because what we're going to do, and I found a case that says, in case of emergency, break glass. It's got a little hammer. And we're going to put that in the foyer. We're going to put that back there. So if a sinner comes in, these little books are going to be back there. That's an emergency. You in an emergency situation. Spiritually, you're in an emergency situation. It's cool. It's got a little hammer with it and everything. You need to know that it's only going to get worse. I mean, just going to be honest with them. We cover all that. We're not going to go over it again. You can go back and listen to the messages from a few weeks ago. You need to know the tribulation will last approximately 7 years, and I get into the approximately here in a few minutes. Number 4, you need to know about the mark of the beast. Whatever you do, don't take it. Like, that is, you take the mark of the beast, I don't care what you say you believe, you will die and go to hell. It does not matter. And we talked about what it takes to be saved during the tribulation. We cover all of these verses. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And none of these verses repeat. They're just over and over and over. So we cover that. And I will say this. There was a time in Christianity when you come up with something like this that isn't conventional or traditional, you got strung up. You had a death warrant on you. Martin Luther, when he come out that we're saved by grace, the Catholic Church put a warrant out for his head. And so, it's bad that we live in the days that we live, but at least I can come up with some of this stuff, and I ain't got to worry about being taken out and strung up. Amen. Number five, you need to store up food and water and get away from other people. And I talked about this prepper stuff. And look, have some food, have a generator, have some extra stuff. I'm talking about people that go into the mountains of Wyoming or Montana or wherever, and that's where you live and stay until you die. That's what I'm talking about when I say prepping. So, you know, have a little sense, get some food, put it away. But when it comes to this time, you will need to run to the mountains. You will need to hide out. And I cover all that in point number five. Point number six, you need to rightly divide the Bible. We got into some of this. Let me get down here where I started. It says right up here at the top, God started the tribulation in Acts 2, and then God stopped it when he called Paul to go to the Gentiles. And that's where we're kind of going to pick up. I believe I left off. I'm gonna hang out right there for a second. Well, where'd it go? I just had it up there. Need to rightly divide the Bible. Okay, there it is. God started the tribulation in Acts 2, then God stopped it when he called Paul to go to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 10. Now, some of this y'all have already heard. Some of these verses are in the Bible, or in the booklet I've got, but the majority of them, all the verses are in the Bible. Some of the verses are in your booklet, but the majority of the verses we're going to cover are not. And again, this is the hardest part about writing a booklet like this, because you want to lay out a case. You want to lay out a foundation. And even today, I mean, I've got to get hurrying. There's so much I cut out in just what I want to present today, because there's so much more. But I'm going to try to give you the highlights. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to look at an overview of all this. Matthew chapter 10, look in verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, and I'm going to tie all this together at the end. It may, you know, this might be one of those movies you're like, where's he going with this? What's he saying? And at the end, like, oh, okay, well, I see it now. I'm going to tie everything together at the end. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying that these are the 12 apostles, these are his disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A direct, clear command. Does anybody got any conflict with this? Anybody struggling with what he's saying here? Jesus has said, don't go to the Gentiles. Only go to Israel. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Now, we've covered these couple verses here, but I'm going to use these to build a foundation for what I'm about to show you. Matthew chapter 15, look in verse 24. Matthew 15, 24. Let's see what Jesus says. If you got a red letter Bible, some people seem to think those words are more important than others, but anyway. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he, Jesus, answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now we're here in Matthew. Now you're going to hear a term that we use as dispensationalist, progressive revelation. What did you know and when did you know it? So at this point, the disciples are told, do not go to the Gentiles. Now we're Gentiles. We're not of the house of Israel. And Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we got that plain. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So Jesus gives it clear, concise. There's nothing about this that's hard to understand. There's nothing about this. And the disciples don't have a problem with it. They don't say, Lord, shouldn't we go to them too? They don't go to the Gentiles. And Jesus said he only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of what was that next word? Who celebrates Pentecost? Israel. The Jews do. Look down at verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, watch it, Jews. Look in verse 2:22. Ye men of Israel. Can this be any clearer who he's talking to in Acts chapter 2? He's not talking, Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles. Peter is still, nothing's changed. You show me from where Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and 15, to now, where Jesus told him to go to the Gentiles. You're not going to find it. He's still going to the nation of Israel. Look in verse 36. And one more time, just in case you're really not sure who he's talking to here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know it surely. So he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to the nation of Israel. That is clear. That is plain. That's right here in the Word of God. No Gentiles are mentioned in Acts chapter 2. Not one. Go to Acts chapter 9. Something is about to change. But as we see, you're turning your Bible to the right. Progressive revelation. What did you know and when did you know it? See, people want to go back now with what we know now and run back to the Gospels and try to make it all mash and mish and go together, and it won't. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. It won't fit. Gentiles, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts 9, 15. This is Paul. He gets saved on the road to Damascus, and listen what God tells him. It's in red letters, again, for some people that seem to think that's important. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the, what? Something happened. Something changed. Paul, or Peter, James, John, and all the apostles have said, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to them. I'll come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now God saved Paul and said, I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. We'll finish the verse. And kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. So we see the Gentiles for the first time mentioned in Acts 9. From Acts 2 to Acts 9, there is no mention of Gentiles. And I'm going to show you some crazy stuff here in a little bit. Go to Acts chapter 13. So we're still turning to the right in our Bible. We're moving through the process of time. Acts 13, look in verse 44. Acts 13, verse 44. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. For the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Boy, wouldn't that be good? The whole city. Almost everybody showed up. I guess, you know, just a few of them stayed at the house. Now, most of them don't go, and very few come to church. Verse 45. But when the Jews, now the Bible's making a clear distinction here. The Bible points out these different group of peoples. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They're having a hard time with what Paul's saying. Why? Because it is different. If it wasn't different, they wouldn't have a hard time with him. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Who is the you? The Jews. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So do you see that there's a turning? There is a change. Something happened. Israel rejected God in the Old Testament. They rejected the Savior in the Gospels. They rejected the Holy Ghost of God in Acts chapter 2 and 3 when they stoned Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, and saying, I have set thee to be a light to the who? Gentiles. Something's changed. Something's different. And thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So when Jesus first shows up to the nation of Israel, he tells his disciples, don't go to those Gentiles. I've only come for you. Once they reject him, then he turns to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 14. 14:27. 14:27. And again, there's so much more. I could do a week long series on this. Every day we could meet from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, and I could fill it up. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to who? To the Gentiles. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, another one. This is going to be probably blasphemous. I would have got strung up for this in Martin Luther's time. The church mentioned there in Acts 15:27 is not the church of Jesus Christ. It's not the body of Christ. And I'm going to prove it to you here in a little bit. Look in Acts chapter 7. We're going to go back because I'm going to prove this to you. Just because you see the word church in the Bible, it does not mean it's the church of Jesus Christ. It does not mean it's the body of Christ. It does not mean it's the blood of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's not that body. And I'm going to show you a church in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 7, look in verse 36. Acts 7, verse 36. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. For this is that Moses, so he's talking about when Moses in the wilderness in this Red Sea, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. You mean they had a New Testament church in the wilderness? No. A church, all a church is a gathering, a meeting, an assembly. So every time you see the word church in the Bible, it does not mean a Pauline, gospel of the grace of God, body of Christ, church. You've got, I mean, we just saw that. I mean, you can't tell me that there's a church when Moses was in the Old Testament like we're having a church today. They didn't have the eternal security of the believer like we've got. There's so many more things to this. All right, turn to Acts 18. So just because you see the word church, don't let that fool you into thinking every time you see that word, it's automatically the gospel of the grace of God, the body of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 18, look in verse 4. Acts 18, look in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. One thing about Paul, everywhere he went, as his manner was, when he saw a synagogue, he went in and disputed with them daily. I love that about the guy. I mean, Paul's one of my heroes. I like that. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid. Verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6. And when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, watch this, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the who? So we're seeing this progressive revelation where it's changing. They reject. They don't accept. And so God says, all right, you don't want it. We're going to go to a different group of people. Turn to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. And you see this all through the book of Acts. And I've told you before, don't get your doctrine out of the book of Acts. There's so many things going on. We've got the tribulation starting. We've got the gospel of the grace of God. We've got John's baptism. We've got so much stuff going on in Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, look in verse 20. Acts 22, verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing. This is Paul giving an account of what he did, of his life, of how God saved him and redeemed him. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Watch verse 21. And he said unto me, this is Jesus, depart from me, for I will send thee far hence unto who? Gentiles. Turn to Acts 28. It's about to really get good now. Acts 28. This is the last chapter of the book of Acts. And look how this thing ends up. We're almost at the very end of Acts chapter 28. Look in verse 26. Saying, or look up here in verse, just show you who we're talking about. Verse 25. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost of Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto who? And they will hear it. There is a change. There is a difference. God saved the Apostle Paul and gave him the gospel of the grace of God and said, now go to the Gentiles. Why? Because Israel rejected. Turn to Romans chapter 11. We're going to look at more of this Israel rejection and why God called Paul to go to the Gentiles. You remember in that verse we read earlier where it said the Jews were envious of what Paul was saying? You interrupt me too long, now I'm going to be hot because I know I interrupt you a lot, but I got a lot to cover. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, they had a hard time with it. Matter of fact, you read Paul's or Peter's letter. You know what Peter said about his beloved brother Paul? There's some things are hard to be understood. I can go over and show you in Peter where Peter's talking about the Apostle Paul saying, boy, some of the stuff he wrote, I don't understand it. Well, he wasn't meant for him to understand. He was the apostle to the nation of Israel. But he still had a hard time with it. And see, what people do is they'll take what Peter says, and they'll take what Paul says, and they'll try to mash it all together, and it does not fit. It does not fit, and a lot of churches do that. Romans chapter 11, look here in verse 7. So now, let's find out why us Gentiles got in. Was it because God just supremely loved us and come and died for us? No. Did he love us? Yes. Did he care for us? Yes. Did he die for us? Yes. But that wasn't his main purpose. He came for the nation of Israel. That is a legitimate statement. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Who's the them? Israel. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. That's backslidden right there. Verse 11. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. God saved us to make the nation of Israel jealous. Look at verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And he's just saying, man, once they're redeemed, once they're brought back, it's going to be a wonderful place. Verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch that I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I'm magnifying my office. But do we see there that God saved us and gave us salvation? And what was the reason that God said he gave us salvation full and free? What was the purpose? What was the because? Why did he do it? To make them jealous. I've given you this illustration before. Andy bought some golf clubs from a lady whose husband, I don't know if he cheated on her, left her or what, but he rolled up and she was just throwing all, getting rid of all the stuff. Did she give Andy a good deal because she liked Andy, or did she give Andy a good deal because she was just mad at her husband? It's the same thing. We got in because Israel messed up. We got in. Romans chapter 11, look in verse 25. I want to read all of it for the sake of time. I don't have time. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Anytime the Bible uses the word mystery, that means most of the people have no idea what it is. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Once the fullness of the Gentiles happen, then God will go back dealing with the nation of Israel, and then they shall be saved in a day there. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, this is the nation of Israel, when I shall take away their, nation of Israel, sins. Verse 28, as concerning the gospels, they are enemies. They are. They're enemies. For your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You know what this means? God's not done with the nation of Israel. There are people out there teaching that the church has replaced Israel and no, it's not true. God, I hate to say, you have children and somebody will claim to be the favorite. She loves me more. Mom and dad love me more than they love you. I'm going to break some news to you. God loves Israel more than he loves you. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just glad we got in. We were adopted. Amen. But God loves Israel more than the church. I'm just saying. That's why we got in. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, another verse that shows that he did it to make them jealous. Romans 10:19. I mean, if he said it one time, it'd be enough, but he said it twice. Romans 10:19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy. I mean, not only is Israel God's favorite, listen what he thinks of us. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. I'm going to take these nobodies. I'm going to take these dogs. I'm going to take these, a Jew wouldn't have anything to do with a Gentile. Jesus called the woman who come begging for a miracle a dog because she was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. That's what they think of us. And God said, all right, I'm going to give it to them for free. And not only do we get it for free, all we got to do is believe. We don't have to keep the commandments. We don't have to keep the ordinances. We don't have to do the sacrifices. We truly don't understand how good we got it. And we really don't. We don't understand how good we got it. All right, turn to Romans 16. So, we see here why we got in. Because Israel didn't want it. I mean, if you ever go to a store, I love going to thrift stores, and I'll see somebody pick something up sometimes, and I really want it, but they saw it before I did. I really want it, but I mean, we don't live in some third world country. I can knock them in the head and take it. I don't know, though. We're getting there. But a lot of times they'll look at it, I'm like, put it back, 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 put it back. You don't want it. And they'll, I've even had people ask me, like, yeah, it's all right, you know. And they'll put it back, and I'll be like, oh, man, I'm glad I got it. But I got it because they chose not to take it. See what I'm saying? We got salvation full and free because Israel, it was first offered to them. It wasn't offered to us. You say, what would have happened if they would have accepted? That's a whole different study, and that's a different time. Romans 16, I'm going to show you something. Romans 16, 25. So God calls these 12 apostles, sends them out, says, don't go to the Gentiles, only go to the nation of Israel. They reject. So now God's got another plan. He calls Paul and says, I want you to go to the Gentiles. Romans 16, look in verse 25. Now to him, this is Paul writing, that is of power to establish you according to whose gospel? Man, what a statement. Paul said, my gospel, him, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There we go with that mystery again. Every time you see the word mystery in the Bible, you automatically know almost everybody's got it wrong. You, as far as Christianity goes, not in this room, but as far as Christianity goes, as far as the, listen, when Jesus came the first time, they, all the religious people missed it. The shepherds in the field taking care of sheep, they had it figured out. They knew who the Savior was. They come bringing gifts. But the religious crowd, they had no idea. Matter of fact, they crucified him. According to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. So this mystery that was given to Paul, he says, my gospel, was never revealed until it was given to Paul. But look at verse 26. But now, as Paul is writing this, is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of what? Faith. Now it's just faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It wasn't always like that. I'm trying to get you to see when Paul's given this revelation, it was never given out before then, before him. Turn to 1 Timothy. I discovered this last night studying. I was up till probably about 11, 12, and got up at 4:30. And this thought just, Pastor Andrew said something a few weeks ago when he was doing Rightly Dividing I'd never heard before, and kind of thought it was blasphemy when he first mentioned it, but after I got studying it, I know he's right, and I'm about to prove it. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy. And listen, I don't ever go to the Bible with an agenda saying, I want to believe this. I said, Lord, show me, reveal to me what your truth is. And the more you study the Bible, we've all changed on some things. I mean, if you've studied the Bible and you spent years in the Bible, you've heard, and I'm about to say something I've heard my whole Christian life. I guarantee you've heard it your whole Christian life, but it's not doctrinal, and I'm about to tell you here in a few moments. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Whereunto, this is Paul sending a letter to Timothy, whereunto I am an apostle and a preacher, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 1 Timothy 1, 11. How about I go to the other 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 1:11. Okay, yep, this is it. All right, first, thank you all for pointing that out. And in this book, I know we're not going through the book much today, but there are some grammatical errors and separate things. Please circle those, and you won't hurt my feelings. I'd rather it be accurate. And if we're going to put it out, I want to seem like I'm totally stupid. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed unto whose trust? And who wrote this? Paul. So the glorious gospel was committed to Paul. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I've always heard it said that he was the chiefest of sinners. It does not say that. He was the very first person to ever get saved with this gospel. And I'm about to prove it. Look at the next verse. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, what? First. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life, to life everlasting. Paul was the first one to ever be saved in the gospel of the grace of God. Here's the blasphemous statement. How many of you ever heard the Ethiopian eunuch was the first one to get in the church? He's not. It says right here, Paul was the first one. And I'm going to tell you he's not, because you remember as they're going down, and Philip was telling him about the gospel, took him over to Isaiah. If thou believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's all good. But just like every church of Christ, they want to get them in that baptism. They want to get them in the water. Why did the Ethiopian eunuch say, hey, here's water? Why would he say that? Because Philip told him, you have to be water baptized. He's following John's baptism. So the Ethiopian eunuch's just going down, you know, and he sees that water, and then he goes down and gets baptized. And then, because see, Philip wasn't given the gospel of the grace of God. Philip. Right. Yes, that he was the Messiah. Correct. And then as he's going on, he said, because Philip told him, man, we got to get you. If there's no water, what are you going to do? You can't baptize in dust. Because all he knows is John's baptism. Philip wasn't given the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was. But see, we talk about what did you know and when did you know it. We'll go back with what we know, what the gospel of the grace of God given to Paul. Then we'll go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we'll go back into all that. We'll read all that back. It wasn't there. It was not there. Philip, that Ethiopian eunuch, wanted to get baptized because he wanted to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter's preaching there in Acts 2:38, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized. Let's go over and read it. A Church of Christ, man, that's all the verse they know. I mean, they don't know many verses, but buddy, they got that one down. Let's see what Peter preaches to Israel. We've already seen in all those verses, Acts chapter 2, look in verse 38. Boy, the brethren have such a hard time just believing the Bible. Then Peter said unto them, repent. I'm on Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It means what it says, and it says what it means. That's all he knew was John's baptism. He wasn't given the gospel of the grace of God. He wasn't given the revelation. All right. The body of Jesus Christ, by salvation alone, goes from the Apostle Paul being the very first one. We saw that there in 1 Timothy. He was the very first one because he says, after the pattern, after I got saved, it's how everybody else is going to get saved, to put in the body of Christ. So from the time Paul gets saved to the last sinner is saved before Christ comes back at the trump of God, when he comes back, that's the body of the Jesus Christ. That's the church of Jesus Christ. So every time you see church in the Bible, it doesn't always mean what we have, the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to try to hurry. 1 Thessalonians, I got to get this in. 1 Thessalonians, so we see that something changed. We see that something happened. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look in verse 13. All right, here we go, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. See, the church goes from Paul to the last person saved. Once that last person is saved, then we're raptured out, and then the tribulation begins. And that's when this book comes into play. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12. That's the gospel. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we... Paul includes himself in this group. He didn't say they. He didn't say them. We, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. That just means that we're not going to go up before the ones that sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the Apostle Paul, includes himself in this, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Paul is including himself in this rapture, in this situation, where the Lord comes back himself and pulls us out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, just another verse on the... I'm telling you, a lot of the brethren got this stuff wrong about the pre-tribulation. I mean, the pre-tribulation is right, but they're leaving it. They're abandoning it. They're going to other teachings. But I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that the church is taken out before the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 51. Behold, I show you a... There's that word again, which means almost everybody gets it wrong. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, just like we read over there in 1 Thessalonians. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ are dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Just another verse showing that there is a something happening, something changing. And Paul includes himself in on that. All right, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Look at the very last verse of Revelation chapter 3. Very last verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. Very last verse in Revelation chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto who? The churches. The church, churches is mentioned 19 times from Revelation 1 to Revelation 3. 19 times. Church or churches mentioned 19 times from Revelation 1 to Revelation 3. It's not mentioned again until the end of the to the last chapter of Revelation, and the white throne judgment is over. So all this stuff you're reading from Revelation chapter 4 on, the horrible things, the bad things, the church isn't there. How can you prove that? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a what? Trumpet, talking with me, which said what? Come up hither. There's your rapture right there. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. After what? The rapture. After the catching away, the church is gone. The church is gone. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Look in verse 12. Revelation 6, 12. And I beheld. This is now, again, Revelation 4, Revelation 5 just talks about the things, the wonderful things that John saw in heaven, and I don't have time to read over that. We're going to skip down to where the sixth seal is being opened here. Verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became what? Don't forget that. The sun became black, and sackcloth of hair, and the moon became what? As blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaking mightily of a mighty wind. Verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and the rocks, and the mountains. And said, now this is all happening after the church is gone. This is happening during the tribulation. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the what? Wrath of the Lamb. God's mad. God's full of wrath. Look at verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we see the wrath here after the church is gone. All right? Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. I'm about done. I got it. You've given other people time, so I'm gonna plead that case. He's had people teach right up to 5 minutes before church. Am I lying? 5 minutes before church starts. So I'm not going to take you that long. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I apologize there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the what? Church. All right. Look down in verse 9. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on the rapture. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the what's to come? There's that wrath that's going to happen after the church is taken out. All right, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, look in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 1, but of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. So he's talking about the times and the season. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So we see the context here. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I mean, this all sounds like tribulation coming up. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you, but you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, having love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, the Apostle Paul is included in this, to what? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribulation has got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with the nation of Israel. Now, turn back to Acts chapter 2. Just about done. So I told y'all last week the tribulation started, and some of y'all have never heard that, but I'm about to show you something. We're actually going to look at it in the Bible here. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 14. But Peter, Acts chapter 2, 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. For to me this is a funny verse. For these are not drunken as you suppose. Then Peter throws in, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. To me that's funny. He could have just said, these are not drunken as you suppose. But he's like, man, it's only the third hour of the day. Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he is giving Joel's prophecy, which is a tribulation prophecy, and I'm about to prove it to you. It shall come, and now, he says there in verse 6, but this is that which was spoken. He's saying it's happening right now. What Joel prophesied, this is it. It's going on right now. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into what? Did not we see that in Revelation? In the tribulation? And the moon shall into what? Did we not see that in Revelation? The tribulation started before that great and notable day of the Lord. The tribulation started in Acts chapter 2. Then God stopped it. We got two more verses and I'll be done. I know it's a little bit longer, but this is it. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, look in verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as what not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now look at verse 22. And except those days, what days is he referring to? The tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Jesus Christ said himself, those days are going to be shortened. Turn to Mark chapter 13 and we're done. Mark 13. So, if Jesus said they're going to be shortened, they're shortened. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. Mark 13, look at verse 19. People do. Peter did it a lot. Not so, Lord. Remember when Peter, God told Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, oh, no. You don't ever tell God no. You just do it. But Peter did. Peter told God no a lot. Remember when he was going to be, he told Peter, I'm going to have to go to the cross. Peter like, no. And Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things which be of God. Mark 13, look at verse 19. Mark 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. It's a tribulation passage. Verse 20. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, the tribulation days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. So, my theory is, it started there in Acts chapter 2. We don't know how long it went, but we clearly see it started. And so I don't know how much it is. I don't know how long. I kind of got a theory because there's some more study I did, but we ain't got time to get into it. But what I'm saying is we see that God called the apostles, told them don't go to the Gentiles. He calls Peter after they reject. And we see that the tribulation started in Acts 2. It stopped. That's when he called Paul, pulled the church out, and he goes right back dealing with the nation of Israel, which isn't going to be 7 years because it's already started in Acts. But I don't know how long. I don't know if it's a year, 2 years, 3 days. I don't know if it's 3.5 years and the rest of the tribulation is going to be bad. I know we got to cut it quick. Has anybody got any questions about anything? Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
That thing you're talking about, progressive revelation.
Yeah.
What folks will do is they go back and they'll find a type.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're back there. You cannot formulate a doctrine on a type.
On a type.
It has not been revealed yet.
Right. Because we see it looking back. How many times in our lives have we gone through something and we get on the other side and we look back, okay, well, I see. I took Jen to the doctor because of something on her lip. They found the hole in her brain, between her sinuses and brain. Well, I didn't take her because there was a hole between the sinuses and brain. We found that afterwards. You see what I'm saying? So you can't look what we know now and put it as what did you know and when did you know it? All right, anybody else got anything? All right, hopefully you enjoyed the study. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the fellowship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word, God, which instructs us, guides us. Lord, we know that all scripture is given.